We'll read some verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to look there with me this morning, 1 Peter, the first chapter. We're going to read starting with verse 13, just a few verses, four verses today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And I know that sounds peculiar, gird up the loins of your mind. The terminology here is you have to think about the context of people in Bible times who wore robes, and if they were going to get somewhere fast, they'd have to gird up their garment to get there. It's really the term really is I guess more common would be roll up your sleeves, get all the excess out of the way so that you can make the progress you need to make. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the coming of the Lord. And it's talking about that we need to just gird up the loins of our garments, roll up our sleeves, and press on. Move on, move forward. How long? Until the Lord comes. With that goal in mind. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a whole lot of holy in those verses. And there's quite the strong admonition to us to be holy and to live holy and to be people that have the testimony that we are living a holy life. Amen? Amen. So for a few minutes, I want to just talk about revival and holiness. Revival and holiness. We've been praying for the last couple of years. We've been praying on a regular basis, Monday nights and other times. We've been praying. We're praying for a move of God in our nation. We're praying for revival corporately here in the church, all the families of our church. Individually, we're asking the Lord, Lord, in me, do it in me. Pour out your Holy Spirit in me. Bring revival. And I know that we want to see God move, and we expect God to move, and we have seen the Lord move in different situations, and I've been so encouraged by the response of a lot of the young people during the camp season and during our services, just kind of, you know, coming in around the altars. It's encouraging to me, and all of us see the possibility of what God can do whenever we really seek Him with our whole heart. But revival is always preceded by a work of the Spirit of God in your heart before you see the miracle and the power and the demonstration. Then there is this work of the Spirit, a purifying, sanctifying work of the Spirit of God before you see the power. Purity always precedes power. Purity always precedes power. And if you want to experience the power of God in your life, then you just begin to make new dedications to God. You just begin to set things of the world aside and pursue the things of the Lord. And you'll find God moving in your life at a new level of spiritual blessing and power. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, revival and holiness, they're not the same thing, but you can't have revival without a work of the Spirit of God purifying and bringing you into a closer walk with the Lord. Someone said, any true revival is proven by the fact that it changes the moral climate of a people, a church, a community, of a nation. It changes the morality. Why do you think that we're experiencing such a level of crime and blatant wickedness in our nation today? It's happening because there is this void of the move of God. There is this need for a move of God. I understand Chicago, the city of Chicago, is in a mess. There are an average of 6 shootings every day. It's been going on for the past several years. An average of 6 shootings a day. 1/3 of them end up in those shooting victims dying. So we're at a very critical time in our nation, in places like that. It's a very, very serious time. So what's the answer? I don't know about you, but I've mulled over this. What can we do? What can be done about some of these places around our nation that are moving so far away from God? And some would say, well, we need new leaders. And that may be true. Or we need new laws, or we need better police work, or there's a lot of these things that may make a difference. But folks, I'm telling you, the real problem in our nation is this spiritual emptiness, this spiritual void, and this turning away from God. When you reject God and you reject the Word of God, then all of this wickedness finds this void and just floods in. And so what Chicago needs, and what major cities across our country, and even right here in our own community, is just this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that will only come whenever the church recognizes that we need to get closer to God. And you get close to God, and you're going to recognize how undone you are, how weak you are, how wicked you are. The closer that you draw to the Lord, the more you're going to be aware of the fact, oh, I need the Lord. Yes. Purity always precedes power. And to experience revival, to ask the Lord to send His power without first of all recognize the need to draw closer to the Lord, to be sanctified in His presence, to purify our lives, and well, it creates a terrible imbalance. And I know that there's a lot of people across the country, different ones, talking about how we need the power of God, and oh, we desperately need God's power at work in our lives. I understand that we do. But that's not really going to happen until the people of God are willing to come and draw near to the Lord and set aside all the things of this world that are so vile and wicked and carnal that need to be set aside. You want purity in your life, and you can draw nearer to the Lord if you'll purpose in your heart to do just that. We've quoted Brother D.C. Branham a lot of times. He's been gone for a lot of years. Brother Branham would say, no holy life, no Holy Ghost. No holy life, no Holy Ghost. Well, what he was saying was, if you're not willing to live a life pleasing to the Lord, don't expect the Holy Ghost. Don't expect the Spirit of God to be at work in your life. Remember, He is a Holy Spirit. He is a Holy Ghost, one and the same. And that if we are to experience that power, the emphasis is on the manifestation, the power of the Spirit, all of those things, which all of those things are wonderful. But remember, we serve our holy God, and we're asking to be filled with a Holy Spirit. And so don't ever think that holiness is not important. It's absolutely important in your life. Amen. Without it, then you have a limp. You have the power without the purity. You have an imbalance. And that's not at all the way that God intends for it to be. The other night we read to you from Isaiah chapter 6, which is the account of Isaiah's vision in the year that King Uzziah died. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And so in his vision, he sees the Lord. Where is he? Well, he's seated on the throne. He's high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And that there's angelic beings that are incredible six-winged angels that are described there in that vision that he had. And then it says that one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Yes. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, now this is the response that every person, now this was a prophet of God, a man of God, but when he comes into the presence of an almighty God, when he receives this vision of an almighty God who is on the throne, high and lifted up, then his response is, woe is me, I am undone. And really, he's just saying, I am done in, I am destroyed, I can't exist in the presence of God. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then one of the seraphims brought a live coal in his hand and touched his lips, those live coals from off of the altar, and touched his lips, and Isaiah's never the same again. He's transformed. He's changed by that encounter with the presence of God. Now, if you have a revival experience that does not change you, then I don't know that it's a biblically valid experience. If you have an encounter with God that doesn't change your life and change your future and set you on a complete new pathway, I don't know that it's really a biblical experience. I'm all for the power of God. I want the power of God. I desire the power of God, but I understand that if I'm going to experience that, I'm going to have to go through the doorway of God's holiness and to be purged and purified so that I can experience the power of God. You'll see that same response a number of places in the scripture. You'll remember when Jesus came and the disciples were on the seashore. Jesus came to Simon and to the other fishermen and said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And basically, they just said, well, Lord, we spent the whole night fishing. Actually, we are professionals, and we know what we're doing. You don't catch fish in the middle of the daytime. And we've done all that we can do, and we didn't catch any. So why would you think you could give us any good advice about how to catch fish? But he said, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it. And they went out a little deeper, and they let down those nets, and they brought them up full of fish. Yes. Amen. What is the response to this encounter with a mighty, powerful Savior? What was the response that he had? The Bible says he fell down on his knees. When Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's the response you have when you come into the presence of the Lord. When you see the power of God, when you have an encounter with the Almighty God, then your response is not one of pride or arrogance or self-sufficiency, but you recognize, oh God, I am a sinful man. I am unworthy. I am undeserving. Something about coming into the presence of the Lord that reveals those areas of your life that are not pleasing to God. Amen. A lot of times people don't want to go to church because if I go to church, I'm going to have to deal with my sin. I don't want to go. I don't want to be in the presence of God. I don't want to hear the word of God because it might reveal the areas of my life where I am coming up short. Praise God for that. Yeah, amen. Amen. I believe that the house of God ought to be a place, sure, a welcoming place where we receive people in and we love sinners. But when the Spirit of God moves and the Word of God goes forth, there is to be a convicting work of the Holy Spirit that people are made aware of their sinfulness. Amen. 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 This is all about revival. Amen. This is what happens when there's real revival, when we have an encounter with the presence of God. Saul on the road to Damascus, that familiar account, we've heard many times. But when he had that encounter with Jesus, when that midday sun was so bright, when he had that encounter with the Son of God that day, he fell down on his face. He's blinded. And this is a life-changing encounter. Saul becomes Paul. Saul, the hater of the church, becomes Saul, the builder of the church. And it's a transforming encounter with the Lord. Amen. So I'm not interested in just a little emotional experience. I'm not interested in just, having just a little good time in the presence of the Lord. I want something deeper than that. I want to draw closer to God, and I want to set aside all the things that are not pleasing to the Lord, because I know that is the doorway to the power of God. Amen. As we are purified before the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, that vision that John had of Jesus, said his head and his hairs were wool, white like wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass. His voice was as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's the response. That's the response we have to the presence of God. That's the response that we have. We recognize our need. We recognize that without him, we're nothing. And it reveals those areas of our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. When we have an encounter with the presence of God, we walk away changed. Amen. We're changed. We're different. And those are the steps that lead to a real revival in your life. Let God work on your heart and in your life to lead you into the deeper things that he wants to accomplish in you. Amen. When we have an encounter with the Lord, then it exposes our sin and our failures and our weaknesses. It exposes our need for God, our need to cry out to God, our need to depend upon the Lord. When you have a genuine encounter with the Lord, you will never be the same again. Many of you have read about or heard about the Welsh revival, the early 1900s, and Wales was completely turned upside down by a great move of God. It started with a prayer meeting among students, young people who began seeking the Lord. The revival was so powerful, led by a man by the name of Evan Roberts. He was just a young man. But it was a prayer movement. It was a move of God that people began to move into the presence of God. It started with a few, and it's most revivals you read about. It was just a handful that grew to a bigger number, and then before long, it's spilling over into the community, and the cities and the towns of Wales are so affected by it, it changes everything. Amen. I'm glad the power of God doesn't leave us as we are. It is a transforming impact that revival has upon us. Amen. As a matter of fact, after some months of that Welsh revival, the police had nothing to do. They had no criminals to catch. No people were being imprisoned. There was no crime. All the pubs and the bars were closed. Things is completely transformed and changed because of the revival that was taking place. Even the mining business was interrupted because they used mules to pull the coal out of the bottom of those mines. The mules were so confused because the commands had always been cursing all those animals. And so they didn't even know what was happening now because all those miners had gotten saved and changed by the power of God. And so they quit using the bad language and the mules didn't even know what to do. Praise God. Amen. Revival is a transforming effect. It's a mighty powerful effect. It transforms the lives of people and even churches and communities and families and a nation. That's why I'm saying that the need in places like Chicago and New York City and all these places where you say, well, it's so dangerous to be in some of these places, and it is. And that spirit that is a spirit of murder and a spirit of hatred can only be countered by the Spirit of God. Amen. And their only hope is a move of God in those cities. So when we pray for those cities, pray for a move of God that will sweep across this country. Yes. At one time, a little over 100 years, maybe 140 years ago, Chicago was the hotbed of a mighty move of God. D.L. Moody and others right there in Chicago. There was this mighty move of God that was going on there. That's what they need. That's what we need. A transforming work of the Spirit of God. Yes. Amen. If we defund the police, it should only be because the police don't have any work to do anymore. Amen. There's a revival and we don't need as many police officers because there's not as much crime and God is transforming the minds and the hearts and the lives of people, and people are being changed. Amen. Oh, that's what the Lord can do and what he desires to do, but the pathway to revival is a road of purity and holiness. Drawing near to the Lord, laying aside every weight and sin, all of these things that are of this world, setting those things aside so that you can pursue the things of God with your whole heart. Yes. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Praise God. When we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that means we come before him and we are purging our life and cleansing our lives. Amen. Over the years, I've witnessed people who are seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this would go on sometimes for days and weeks, that they were seeking after this wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost baptism. And they didn't receive it. They didn't receive it. Then you would hear the testimony from them weeks later, or maybe even longer than that. They'd say, well, I was holding on to this one thing, had a grip on my life, this habit or this thing of the world that I couldn't let go of it. When I finally said yes to Jesus, then I was filled. Amen. When I finally gave up and was purified and set free from that thing that had such a grip on my life, then I enjoyed the blessing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Another brother that was a great influence on me, Brother Gene Kanner, who said that holiness is a heart attitude that always says yes to the Lord. Amen. Always says yes to the Lord. Amen. Whatever he deals with you about, however he speaks to your heart, whatever it is that is between you and the Lord, that you're willing to say, okay, Lord, everybody else does it. Everybody else is involved in it. Everybody else is going that direction, but not me, not me. If you've put your hand on that in my life, then Lord, I'm gonna say yes to you, Lord. I'm gonna purge my life of those things. I'm gonna clear out all of those hindrances so I can enjoy the blessing of a move of God in my life. Amen. So a revival that we're praying for, yes, it'll be a move of power. It'll be a move of people being healed and saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and great spiritual manifestations. But preceding all of that will be a church that comes before the presence of God and is honest with the Lord and allows the Lord to clear out all the rubbish, sanctify, clear out all the hindrance, all the bad attitudes, all the spirit, the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit and all these things that have got a grip on our life. You're never going to get into enjoying the presence and the power of God until you get rid of those things that are hindering. Amen. Amen. So there's a close connection between a revival in your life and your personal holiness. Amen. Let God deal with your heart. Amen. And don't just brush it off. Don't just act like it's not important. If God is talking to you and dealing with you, then let the Lord do a work in your heart. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. And we know, Lord, that as we draw near to your presence, Lord, that the first response is going to be, woe is me, I'm undone. The first response is going to be, we're going to be overwhelmed by your holiness and realize how undone we are. And then, Lord, we allow you to do a cleansing work and a purging and a sanctifying work in our lives because we want to move forward into the power of God, into the revival experiences that you have for your people. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.